captivity captive. Amen. And they stepped on over into glory. And the shouting and the praise around the throne. Can you imagine what's going to happen when the rapture takes place? And we're taken up out of here and we're gathered around the throne. Man, you're talking about a shouting, rejoicing time. Ear have not heard and I have not seen the things God has prepared for us. Amen. What a day that's going to be. It's hard to imagine, but it's kind of fun to try to imagine, ain't it? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul. Amen. Before he left this old world, eventually his head was beheaded, and man, he stepped over into glory on that day. And the Bible says in his recorded words to young Timothy here, the pastor of the church of Ephesus, he had written to him once, now he's written to him twice. He gives him a little charge here in the end. He says, I charge thee, verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. There's the rapture and there's the second coming. And there's the one that we're going to give an account to. And he's charging Timothy with that truth. He tells him, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Amen. We're probably in that out of season age right now. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and I believe it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's amazing that this has been written over somewhere around 2,000 years ago. Of course, by the inspiration of God, it's prophetically speaking about that time to come. And I really believe we're in that time. We're in those last of the last days. It's headed into the rapture of the church. And you can see it being revealed by the truth that he said here. They're not enduring sound doctrine. They're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. They are, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. It's amazing what people will believe over the authority of the Word of God. He says to young Timothy, even though it's going to come, he's speaking about it even coming in his day. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. No matter what happens in this old world, we still have a job to do. He says in verse 6, for I, Paul speaking about himself, am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul speaking of the time when he's going to depart and leave this world. And you could tell by the tone and the words that he's using that Colossians chapter number 3 is fresh in his mind. He has set his affections on things above. He's thinking about what's going to happen in that day. And we as God's children ought to have our mind on things above, even up to our death. And he tells him, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Why? Because his days are short. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Here he is with that beloved physician that never left his side. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I left sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, talking to Timothy, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. I wonder why he's warning of Timothy about Alexander the coppersmith and much evil he has done. He says, but you beware of it. And probably Paul knew that just like other people, amen, that when he would depart, others would come in and try to maybe befriend Timothy just to get an advantage and ultimately to bring him down. Well, people are wicked, ain't they, amen? Anyhow, he says in verse number 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, thank God, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Ephratus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's blessings today. Amen. Jacob, how about pray for us?
Bless our Father, Lord, thank you, God, for your blessings, Lord, on our lives. Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God help us.
That you just help us lead different, Lord, than the way we can. We go out and live the right to be pleasing unto you. Lead others to Christ, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you will do. That you have your will and way in all Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Back to verse number 7 with us. I'm going to preach on this thought this morning. Finishing strong. Finishing strong. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul finished strong. Paul was a fighter and a man of faith. He fought the good fight of faith, and he kept the faith. Amen. And when I think about the Apostle Paul, hold your place here. Look with me to Acts chapter number 20. Let me give you this verse. When I think about the Apostle Paul, one of my greatest verses about the testimony of Paul was found in the book of Acts in chapter 20. Acts chapter number 20, Paul was standing before the pastors at Ephesus. He has given his farewell speech to them, kind of like he's given his farewell words to Timothy here. But he's not dying here in the book of Acts. He's talking about leaving the place of Ephesus and maybe never returning back that way again. And when he stood before these pastors, he had this statement to make among other things. But verse 24 is what I want to call your attention. He says, but none of these things move me. He began to talk about all the things that would happen, amen, and how the affliction would come on his body and what would happen to him when he headed his way towards Jerusalem. But he said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And that's what our problem is a lot of times. We think too much of ourselves. He said, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul had a course that was set before him, and he wanted to finish it with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, hey, none of these things move me. I want to finish the course that God has laid before me. Amen. Hey, but it's sad to say, even though Paul was a man that finished his course, many of God's people don't finish their course. Many of God's people start a good race and start out on fire, jump out of the gates, and never make it any further. Hey, Paul, speaking about, he said, I have fought a good fight. I don't believe he's bragging on himself. He's bragging on the fact of what God done through his life. As we know, according to the Apostle Paul, in his spirit in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. He realized it was by God's grace. But by God's grace, God's people can do great things. Amen. And Paul's ending up his words, and he's standing there. And listen, I want to be like, I don't want to have any regrets. I want to be standing at the threshold of death one day, and by the grace of God, be able to say, hey, the course God put before me, I ran that course. The faith that God gave me, I kept it in the Lord Jesus Christ. None of these things moved me. I wasn't teared aside by none. I set my face, if you will, like a flint, like Jesus did on his way to Calvary. I done it on my course, and I ran my course well. Not to brag on myself, but to brag on the God that saved my soul. The Apostle Paul's bragging on the fact of what God has done in his life. But while he's speaking about what he ran in his life, he calls Timothy to the attention of others did not do as well. I don't believe Paul has compared himself among himself. He's just warning Timothy about others and their falls. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 10, he says, for Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. It is sad to say today that many of God's children are not finishing the race strong. Many because, like Demas here, they have forsaken Paul. And if they've forsaken Paul, you know they have forsaken the Lord because they love this present world. And it's departed unto Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a thriving city where a lot of money could be made and a lot of false gods could be worshipped. And for him to say that he made his way to Thessalonica is showing the intentions in the heart of Demas. I'm telling this old world to lure you away from God. And you young people better heed the warnings. They're out to try to draw you to the glamour and draw you to the light, totally rip your heart away and destroy you. Hey, Demas forsook Paul, forsook the church, forsook God for a love of this present world. He did not finish his way strong. He failed somewhere along the way. There was a time in Demas' life, and you look at it in the Word of God, where he was with Paul, a laborer with Paul, serving with Paul, to get himself in a little complacent age, so eventually he fell in love with this world and did not finish strong. Another one, he mentions it down in verse number 14, is Alexander the coppersmith. Paul said, he'd done me much evil. Hey, it's sad that some will forsake us for the love of the world, but some are forsaken by stabbing you in the back. Hey, man, do you evil on the way out. You know what he said? He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. That's the Lord's business. Vengeance is the Lord's. Thank God he shall repay. But I'm telling you, young Timothy, though they have forsaken me, they will forsake you. But I'm telling you, finish strong. Keep pressing on. Amen. Hey, the songwriter said, it won't be very long. I believe we're in the brink of the coming of the Lord. You say they've always preached that. Well, I believe we're closer then than they were. Amen. I don't know. It could be 50 years. It could be 5 years. It could be 5 months. It could be 5 minutes. Amen. The Lord could come back. And I'm looking for the return of the Lord. Amen. And whether the Lord comes back and takes me out in the rapture, if He carries and He takes me out in death, I want to finish strong. Amen. Paul said, I have finished my course. I want to preach to you on this thought, finishing strong. Number one today, to finish strong, first of all, you've got to start. Amen. You know why a lot of people are not finishing strong? They've never started. Now, a lot of God's people are still in the gate, amen. Hey, the gate's been dropped and you're still standing there wondering, why is everybody running? Why is everybody going in that direction? A lot of God's people are still in the gates, amen. Hey, there came a time in the Apostle Paul's life, he's saying, yeah, I finished strong. You know why he finished? Because he got started, amen. You will never finish if you never start, amen. That's a no-brainer, ain't it, amen. In the book of Acts, here's Paul heading down the road to Damascus. He's about his own way, doing his own journeys. It's the word of Jews in verse 1 and verse 2 of Acts chapter number 9. He's going about doing his own business, living for himself, trying to justify himself and his actions and shutting up the saints of God. But one glorious day on that road, on that journey, God came by. You know what God came by to do? He came to open up the gate to begin the life of journey for the Lord Jesus Christ. The light shined round about him. He knocked him down off his ass. He looked up and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Hey, God came by to specific place, saved his soul, and put him on a race for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could take us all to the place where the gate was dropped. He had a place where he met God, and God changed his life. Now, before we go any further about finishing strong, can I just say to you that maybe you're here lost, or maybe watching across the internet that are lost, that have never known God in the free pardon of grace from their sins by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, God wants to put you in the race. God wants to save your soul. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you an eternal destiny other than hell, which is heaven. Amen. Hey, but you've got to come to the cross and accept the shed blood of Jesus Christ and let God change your life. You know, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. You say, well, I'm in church. He's not asking you whether you're in church. If any man be in baptismal waters. No, he's not talking about waters. He's not talking about good works. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Apostle Paul was in the church, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the traditions and the laws, but he was not in Christ. Amen. And when you get put in Christ, God changes your life. You know, a good testimony of the fact that you're born again is the fact that when you accepted the Lord on that day by faith, He changed your life. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Paul can take you to the place where he met God and God changed his life. You got a place, a starting gate in your life where God met you, opened up the gate of life and flooded your soul with salvation and changed your direction. You were headed in that way that he came, and now we're headed in that way. We were going, if you will, southward, and now we're going northward, amen. Our direction has been changed. Our outlook has changed. Our love for people has changed. Our love for God has changed. Our understanding of God has changed. Because God has passed by. To finish strong, you must start. Paul was running for himself, and now he is full-fledged running for God. Look in Hebrews chapter number 12 with me this morning. I'm talking about finishing strong. You got to start. Some of you got to get out of the gate. Some of you just mingling around, amen, eating straw. And it's time to pick up your head, amen. It's time to get going. Hey, God saved your soul to go. God saved your soul to serve Him, amen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He never would have finished if he'd have never got started. Amen. What are some of God's people waiting on? If God saved your soul, well, let's be going, amen. Let's get up and go. Let's serve God. Hey, if you're going to finish strong, hey, get started, amen. I mean, I don't know what you're waiting on. I mean, how much more does God got to do to motivate us to serve Him? The fact that He loved us enough to save our souls and change our lives. Hey, let's get going. Maybe some of you need to come to Him and repent of your sins and accept Him as Savior. Maybe that's the reason why you're mingling around the gate and you got no desire and nothing in your heart to want to serve God. Maybe you've never started. You say, preacher, you're trying to talk me out of my salvation. Oh no, I would never try. Amen. But if you don't have it, you better get it. You can go to hell off a church pew just like you can a bar stool. Amen. It doesn't matter to God. Amen. And God doesn't want you to go to hell off a church pew or a bar stool. Amen. Hey, God wants you to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God wants to save your soul. If you're going to finish strong, you need to get started. It's time to stop mingling around and bounce around. Hey, some of you young people need to decide, like Moses said when he came to himself and he said, Hey man, I desire to suffer affliction with the people of God. When he come to years, he decided enough's enough at Pharaoh's house. I'm ready to go. I'm one of God's children. What am I doing in Pharaoh's house? Some of God's people need to realize, hey, what am I doing in the world's house? What am I doing sitting down in the seat of the wicked? It's time to press forward and go on for God, amen. It's time to get started. I'm telling you, I don't know how to express it enough, amen. I don't know if your head's in the sand or you realize what's going on. Hey, if you're going to get something done, I really honestly believe we better get busy. We better get busy. It's time to start going. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How am I going to run the race that is set before me? I'm going to get started. Hey, you know who started it? The Bible said in verse 2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. If you're going to get started, amen, if you're going to finish strong, you need to get started. And if you're going to get started, you need to realize that salvation starts the race. I mean, salvation started it all. And by the way, when it comes to salvation, which gets you started, a couple of things you need to realize once you get born again is that God saves and that God keeps. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, that's who we're looking to. We're not looking to church, right? I mean, you ought to have church in your life and have these things, but I'm not looking to that for salvation. He says, looking unto Jesus, and listen to me, the author, that's the beginning of it, and the finisher of our faith. You know what God does when He saves? He saves you, and He finishes it, amen. Amen. Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. You know what salvation is? It's a no-so salvation. Hey, when God saved my soul, heaven is my home. You say, but you're bragging on yourself. No, I am bragging on God. God saved me, and God will keep me, amen. The Bible said, He that begun a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began it, and thank God He will perform it. He put a down payment on me in the Holy Ghost, and He's coming back to get the redemption of the purchased possession. Amen. Thank you. Now He said He's author and the finisher of our faith. I'm talking about the spurt. Number one, if you're going to finish strong, you got to get started. Hey, God started it, and God's going to finish it. All He's worried about, and we're to worry about, is the dash. What's the dash? Well, there's a starting date of salvation, and there's an ending date when you go home. God started it when you got saved. God's got the ending date when we're going home. God said, you worry about the dash in between. It's like going out in a tombstone. There's a birth date and there's a death date. Hey, you got a birth date unto salvation, and we've got a death date appointed, whether in rapture or death, to go home to be with God. And God said, the race in between is your business.
Amen.
And the question is, what are you doing with the dash? Hey, when God's looking down today, you know what He's seeing? He's seeing a lot of people still behind the gate. They've never been born again and stepped outside the gate. Some of you have been born again, but you're mingling around on the outside. And God says, rise, let us be going. Amen. It's time to go forward in your race. So I want to finish strong. You better get to going. It's time you get a moving, amen. You're not going to finish strong mingling around this whole world. You're not going to finish strong, amen, out there doing nothing for God. Hey, you got to get going. You know Jesus Christ is the example. He said He's the author and finisher of our faith. You know what He goes on to describe? He begins to describe the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The example paid before us to get started. Hey, what did He do? He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He lived His life to the Father. You know what the Bible said about Him? He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You know, if you're going to run the race, you need to run it with joy.
Amen.
I don't understand why God's people are not enjoying the race. You say, preacher, I got hardships. Man, who don't? But God didn't put you down here to be miserable. God gave you life, and He wants to give you life more abundantly. The Bible said about the Lord Jesus Christ, He endured the cross. The cross was not fun. It was not fun having somebody drive stakes in your hands and in your feet and beating you with a cat of nine tails and piercing you in the side and being rejected by everybody. That was not joyful to Him. What was joyful to Him was the fact that what was being accomplished while He was doing it. Amen. Hey, we need to get our eyes on what's above and what can be accomplished in our lives. Amen. Why did Paul and Silas over in the midnight hour in the dungeon of the Philippian jail, while they're in the mud and in the mire of the filth of that prison, at the midnight hour, rise up and begin to praise God? You know what? He said, man, it's a joy to serve God. The early church was persecuted, but they counted it a joy to suffer for His name. Hey, we'll be serving with joy.
Amen.
You know why a lot of people don't want what we got? Because what we got don't look good. I mean, they look at us and all they hear is mumble, complain. God help, who would want what you got? If what you got's heaven, I don't want it. God help, I'm telling you the truth. Hey, we ought to be running with joy. What a joy to serve the Lord. What a privilege to walk with Him and talk with Him. You ought to be enjoying the ride. Hey, man, what an awesome thing to do. That's not a good awesome thing. The world's tore that up, ain't it? Hey, man, He's an awesome God, you know? He's great, ain't he? He's magnificent. He's the potentate.
Amen.
Amen. And we've been reminded of these things, how great and how majesty God is recently around church through all these Sunday school teaching and preaching these great men do. And you know what the problem is? We're sitting around like we're serving a dead God.
Amen.
He said, for the joy that was set before Him, if you're going to run the race, you better get started. You know what? There is no other joy for someone that is saved except for someone that is running the race.
Amen.
You know why some of you are miserable today? You're saved. God started something in you. You got a home in heaven that's waiting on you. But you're doing nothing with the dash. And you wonder why you're miserable. Hey, you can't be happy, amen, because the Holy Ghost is inside of you. And He's longing to live for God. He's longing for the new life, the new man. Wants the new excitement and the thrills of God. But you're grieving Him. You're quenching Him. And there's no joy in your life. If you got to finish strong, you got to get started. It's time to get out of the gate. Present yourself to the Lord like Isaiah and say, Lord, here I am. Send me, man. I'm ready to go. It should be a race of joy. He said that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Hey, when joy comes in your racing, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to endure the hardships. There's going to be cramps. There's going to be tiresome days. There's going to be days you feel like my side's hurting so bad I can't run no further. You ever ran like that? And the fatigue begins to set in. You got to endure the hardships. Hey, the devil has never laid down and let anybody run for God. But he endured the cross. He despised the shame, the ridicule of how others will treat you. Amen. Hey, you've got to get started. I'm telling you, that's where the joy is at. But I'm also telling you, that's where the endurance will come in and the shame will come your way. But thank God, one day, if you look at the bigger picture, like Paul said, amen, hey, there's coming a day that we're going to sit down with the Father. You know what Jesus did after his race? That he ran with joy, enduring the cross and despising the shame. There came a day, sit down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. There's coming a day as children of God, we're going to sit down with Him. But I'm telling you, if we're going to finish strong, you've got to get started. Amen. Number two, not only must you get started. Hey, some of you need to get started. And I'm talking to some people today. You started, but you fell, and you need to get up.
Amen.
You know what some of God's people need to do? There's a time in your life where you did start. Look back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We spoke briefly about Him already. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Some of you need to get started. Some of you need to get going. Everybody in here is on different planes of your Christian life. We've been preaching about that lately. We need to realize where we're at. Some of you need to get up and start the race. Some of you need to be saved to get into the race. Some of you are saved, but you need to get outside the gate and get going. And some of you have been going before, but you have fallen. You stumbled out of the gate. I don't know how far you went in the race that you were running, the marathon that we're running as Christians. This is not a sprint race. Amen. This is a long-distance marathon. Some people call it a triathlon. You know, I didn't pronounce that right, did you? I'm always going to mispronounce some words. Y'all write them down and tell me later. I know. My wife's writing a journal of all the words I created. And she writes my, which is it after you're dead, biography, autobiography, you know? Whenever she writes it, it's going to have all the stuff the preacher said that was just crazy. Oh, what a heritage. Amen. So we're running the race. You know what some of you have done? Some of you started, but you failed. And you know what happens when we fall? We get shame. We find the example of this over here. Some of you need to get up. Some of you left the gate, but you've stumbled somewhere down the way. I don't know how long it took, but you stumbled. We find this with Demas over here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse number 11. Verse 10, excuse me. He says, we spoke about Demas, but let me speak to you about another guy, not Demas, but John Mark. The Bible says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here's a man in the Apostle Paul's life that there came a time that he ran, he stumbled, but thank God he got up. The difference between him and Demas was Demas stumbled and we never have any knowledge of him ever rising again. And it's sad to say many of God's people stumble and never rise again. But we have the example of someone here that was running the race that stumbled but eventually got up. He is John. We call him John Mark. Amen. That's what the Bible calls him. He wrote the book of Mark. Amen. Mark is an example of this. In Acts chapter number 12, he was kin to Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas went out on a mission journey. And Barnabas, just like he did for the Apostle Paul, went to the other disciples and said, how about listen to this guy? He's got something to say. Barnabas goes to the Apostle Paul and says, hey, I got a kin person to me. His name is Mark, John Mark. Let's take him with us for the ministry. Paul said, all right, let's go. And he went out of the gates on fire. And he's out there in Acts chapter number 12, and he's riding around the seas with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and they're witnessing and testifying and starting churches and doing the work for God. I don't know how long it took between Acts 12 and Acts 13, but after Acts 12, Acts 13 arises, hey, Mark says, hey, it's time for me to go back home. I don't know how long he ran out of the gate. I don't know how much of a year's was spanned. It might have been a couple of months. Might have been a year. Maybe you can do a little reading of the scriptures and find out the exact date. I don't know it at the moment. I'm sure we studied it in the past. But hey, he ran, but he fell on his face. Hey, I don't know what arose. I don't know if it was a hardship. I don't know if it was persecution. I don't know if it was maybe something he chose in his life other than God, like the world, and wanted to go back to the glitter and the glamour. But the Bible tells us he left the Apostle Paul. He took off on fire, but he stumbled on the run. He fell on his face. In Acts chapter number 15, you know what you find him doing? You find that old boy rising up again. I don't know what happened between Acts 12, 13 to 15, but after his fall in Acts 13, according to the Word of God, in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas is going back to visit some churches, and Paul and Barnabas looked at Paul and he said, hey boy, John Mark's back. He's got his thing right with God. I know he left us back there in chapter 13, and I know it wasn't good. I know it grieved you, and it grieved me also, but I believe he's ready to go back and do a work for God. He has got up from his fall. You know what Paul says? Paul said he might have got up, but he ain't going with me. The great apostle Paul said, yeah, that won't let me once. It will not happen to me twice. Hey, fool me once, amen. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Paul said, that ain't happening. He ain't going with me. Barnabas said, well, I believe you ought to go. And the contention got so great that they separated themselves in Acts 15. Barnabas sailed with Mark, and Paul went with Silas, being chosen by the apostles. You say, who was right, who was wrong? Hey, I don't know. Barnabas ends up pretty good. Hey, John Mark winds up pretty good. But he had a stumble in his life, and he got up, and he had to face the ridicule of. You know what's wrong with a lot of God's people? They stumble and they decide to get up, but they're not willing to face the ridicule. Hey, you got to face the mistakes that you made. You know what to help some of you? Just own it. Just own it. You know how people can get a little, make more, a little bit of confidence in you if you just be genuine? What's wrong with saying, you know what? That was me, but it ain't me no more. Yes, the flesh got a hold of me and jumped up and grabbed me, and I chose to do wrong. I went back. I chose to go back to the world. It wasn't nobody's fault but my own. But you know what? People have a lot more chance to forgive you and look over it when you own it. Right. You know what happened in churches? People don't want to own nothing. They just want to sweep it under the rug and act like it never happened. And then others have to look at you with the mystery. Can I trust that snake or not? You said, preacher, you ought not to judge people like that. I know, but we're human. And we got to watch out for others. Paul was human. Paul looked at him and said, yeah, but I don't know if I could trust him. I don't know if he's going to go do it again. Barnabas said, but he'll go. Yeah, but Barnabas, you might be leaning to the fact that you're kin to him. And maybe you've been swayed by the fact that he's your kin person, and maybe your kinness is, you know, don't that happen a lot? Maybe kin people say, well, you know, I let them go. They didn't mean it. Yeah, but yeah. Why ain't they owned it? Look in Philippians chapter number 3 with me. I'm talking about some of you need to get up. Hey, some of you need to get up. You know how you're going to get up? You're going to have to face it. You might have to face the hardships. Amen. Hey, I know some. You know what some of us need to do? Some of us need to speak up for some others.
Amen.
Barnabas spoke up for John Mark. I know Paul didn't accept it, but Barnabas still spoke up. Hey, what are you doing to try to encourage others to get up? You know, they got enough on them already for us to kick them in the neck a little bit harder and choke them out. If they're willing to admit it and face their faults and failures and their sins, let's get up and go. Amen. At this time, we find in Acts chapter number 15 that Paul had no confidence in John Mark. But when Paul writes what he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he says, bring Mark with thee. He's profitable to me. There came a time in that old boy's life where he earned the confidence back in the Apostle Paul. You know what it might take for some of you to do? It might take a little bit of hardship and a little ridicule to maybe earn a little confidence back. Hey, maybe if you start living right, maybe to change some things. I remember as a young Christian, I've been to church here all my life, since I've been saved, not all my life, amen, that would be a lie, you know. That's like saying I've been a child of God all my life. No, I was born again at the age of 21, and I got saved in this church, and never been anywhere else as far as the ministry is concerned. But I remember a time as a young Christian in my life, coming up to the pastor that was at this church, I kind of got my attendance, got a little wayward and in and out, you know. I remember going to the preacher, there's prayer rooms on each side, I remember going to him and looking him in his face and saying, listen, man, I ain't been what I ought to be. He didn't have to come ask me. I already knew it. You said, why was you confessing him? We don't need to confess to man. I know we don't need to confess to man. I confess it to God. But you know what? It'll maybe clear a little bit of air and maybe help my conscience and maybe help his conscience looking at me. So I went to him and said, listen, I ain't been faithful as I need to be. Hey, things are about to change. I just went and got the thing straight. Let's face up on the thing, man. You know what? Hey, God helped me through that thing. Hey, but I had to own it. I had to face up to it, amen. You said, preacher, I don't know. You know about you. You're exactly right. You know, we don't know people about you. We never had God an apology, but we're going to have the friction out of the air and a good liberty to serve the Lord. Hey, we're going to confess our faults one to another. Hey, to get things right and get the air clear.
Amen.
Hey, you stumbled, amen. Maybe we need to admit the fact that we have stumbled. You know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13? Look what the Bible says. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended. I mean, he's not talking about heaven because heaven's a shoe, and he knew that. But he's saying, man, I ain't got it all figured out. I'm not arrived yet. He said, but this one thing I do, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You know what Paul had to do? Paul had to forget the past. You know what John Mark had to do when he got up? He had to forget the past. You know what that boy had to do? He had to forgive himself.
Yep.
I mean, one of the most important persons to forgive is yourself.
Amen.
I mean, we you know, especially the child of God, there's something about, man, we guilt trip ourselves bad. And I believe we ought to be guilty for our wrongs, right? But if we confess that thing, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if God's forgiven us and God's cleansed us, why can't we forgive ourselves? You know what Paul said? I forget those things which are behind. I gotta forget the fact that I used to take Christians and bound them up to be killed. I gotta forget that stuff that brings guilt in my life. Forget things prior to salvation and forget things since I've been saved. Hey, John Mark had to forgive himself. But you know what? He maybe had to forgive others. Maybe the way they treated him. Maybe the way they looked at him. You know what you're going to have to get over? You're going to have to get over yourself and have to get over others. You're going to have to forget those things which are behind. Hey, some of you stumbled and you fell. And some of it's your fault. Some of it's somebody else's fault. But you know what? You have never put it behind you. Well, I know what they said about me. I know. And God knows. Hey, but if you're going to go forward in this race and finish strong, you got to get up. You got to get out of that stumble. Maybe somebody did stick their foot out. Maybe you stumbled over your own feet. Maybe it was somebody you were running beside that you ran into. I don't know, but you fell. Hey, but you'll never finish strong if you never get up. And sometimes getting up comes to the fact that we got to face the fact that I've done wrong and somebody else has done wrong. And I got to forget the past. I mean, you can't, you know what? Listen, this is a very, very, very simple thought here, but you can never change the past. Hey, man, I don't care, but you cannot, you cry with spilled milk all you want to, you're not gathering it all back up. Amen. Hey, man, you cannot change the past, and you cannot live for the future as long as you live in the past. Did you hear that? You cannot live in the present and in the future if you cannot forget the past. Hey, some of you still living in the past. Well, I used to. Well, hey, man, that's good. But you're not going to finish strong dwelling on the past. Hey, some of you hear about that. Well, I used to do this. Well, why don't you do it now? I mean, get out of the past, man. Let's go forward in the future. Let's finish strong. Let's do great things for God. I mean, I'm telling you what. I've been looking at this thing lately in the Word of God. Most of the great people in the Word of God, a lot of them had falls. But you know what I know about those that had falls? Most of their greatest works happened after their fall. After their fall. Most of the greatest accomplishments in their lives were after the fact that they had stumbled and fell, but they got up and done greater things than they'd ever done before. Hey, maybe sometimes it takes that to humble us. Maybe it takes us to go through hardships that we know how to minister to others. I don't know what it is. Hey, but I'm telling you what I know about God and about the Word of God and about people. Hey, you can still do greater things than you have ever done in your life if you're willing to get up. Some people say, well, I'm a wash up. No, you're not. I mean, if Peter thought like that, he'd have never done what he did. If the great people in the Hall of Faith thought like that, they'd have never been in the Hall of Faith and accomplished what they accomplished. But they were willing to face their falls and willing to get up and go at it again. Amen. They've reached forward. You not only forget the past, but you need to reach forward. The Jesus said, no man that put his hand to the plow to look it back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, preacher, that's a verse where you're lost and you can't be saved. That ain't what that teaches, man. He said you're not fit. He didn't say you weren't going. There's a lot of people going to heaven ain't fit for it, the way they live their lives. Hey, you put your hand in the plow, stay in the plow, man. Hey, maybe you need to sell some oxen so you won't have an opportunity to go back, you know, like we find in the Word of God. But you need to press forward, amen. Some of you need to get up. Hey, man, you're never going to go forward and finish strong if you don't get up from the mistakes. Jesus said, or the Holy Ghost said through the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11:6, He says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. You talking about faith to face your mistakes and faith to go forward? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. It's time to put your faith in God. It's time to reach forward. Not only to reach forward, but press towards the mark of the prize of the high call. Hey, you know what I know about God and I know about the devil? Once you reach forward, God will reach and He'll pull you as strong as He can, but the devil's going to pull back as far as God pulls forward. Amen. Hey, man, you're going to have to reach. You're going to have to press. Hey, man, you're going to have to realize that the devil's going to fight and all hell or high waters are going to rise. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Some of you today need to get started. Some of you today need to get up from your fall and get going again like John Mark and still accomplish great things. But you know what some of you need to do? Some of you today just need to keep going. I'm talking to people that's in the gate that's never started. I'm talking to people that's fumbled and stumbled and need to get up. But I'm talking to some of you just kind of just killed loping along. You know what I want to tell you this morning? Keep going. Keep pressing on. Hey, keep living. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Some of you just need to keep going. Paul ran his race to win. You know, we're reaching for something greater. I'm not, you know, some people say, well, I'm just running the place. I'm not running the place. I'm running to win.
Yeah, amen.
I don't want a place. I want to win. I don't want a place on the podium. I want the top place.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you ought to strive to do the best. You're supposed to ask a little conceited. No, man, I believe it's the way it's the Spirit of God in your heart that wants the, Jesus Christ wants the best. And the Holy Ghost is the best. And the Word of God is the best. And God's given us the best so we can accomplish the best. It's not the two hands, but it's the bread and glorify the God that saved our soul. I believe in everything you do, you ought to strive to be the best at it. And you ought to show Christ through it all. You know, I believe when you go to work, you ought to be the best person where you work. The best. You ought to be the cream of the crop. You know why? Because God's in you.
Yeah, amen.
If anybody's trustworthy and faithful and is clean and lives right, it ought to be you that are saved.
Amen.
I believe we're missing the mentality of the mission field. Yes, we're sending them around the world, but God's sending you to your job. What about being the best? What about being the woman all hell breaks loose in their lives and in their marriage and their children? They got somebody, a missionary on their job they can run to. And preach, I'm not a missionary. No, but you're a child of God. You're the best right down there if God lives in you because God's the best. Hey, it's time we press forward and keep going, amen. Do great things for God. Accomplish great things. Expect great things. Do great things, right? Where's that mentality at? Keep going. Paul ran to win. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Paul, you know what Paul did? Paul finished what he started. I'm talking to some of you this morning. Maybe you're getting a little weary. You know what I say to you? Finish what you started. Hey, the songwriter said, man, we've come too far to look back now. Turn back now, right? I mean, we got too much behind us to go back. Hey, some of you pressed too far to go to give it up right now to the end. Hey, man, if you're going to finish strong, you're going to have to keep going. I know the devil's pulling out all the stumps, and I know everything's rising up, and things are coming at us, amen. But I'm telling you, God's still on the throne. We're still God's children. We can press on and serve the Lord. Some of you need to keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look down to verse number 24 in the end of that chapter. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Are we winning to win? Are we winning to obtain the prize? Do you know there's rewards waiting for us as children of God? How about we get a good meaning of understanding of the judgment seat and where we're going to stand before the Lord and cast our crowns at His feet, maybe to motivate a little bit of work in our lives? Hey, I'm running for a crown, man. I want something to lay down at His feet for how good He's been to me.
Amen.
Listen to me honestly. Ask yourself, how good has God been to you? Who came and picked you up out of the muck and mire of your life and saved your soul? Who put a song in your mouth and established your goings? Who's given you the family that you got and the blessings that you got and the help? Man, God's been good to us.
Amen.
We're going to go stand before Him one day with our hands in our pockets saying, I got nothing to give. You talking about a shameful day when we're looking around looking for somewhere to hide and get behind somebody and they ain't nowhere to hide and you ain't got nothing to lay at His feet as good as He's been to you because you've been so full of the flesh and yourself and living for this old stinking world that God saved you out of, gave you peace and joy in the Holy Ghost and direction and friends and the church, everything He's done to benefit our lives and we can't run for Him. We ought to run to obtain. I want something to lay at His feet. I want something to praise Him and brag on Him by how good He's been to me. The world does it. And He goes on to say that in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we ain't incorruptible. I mean, the world will give their lives to win trophies and win World Series and national NBA Finals and college titles and you name it, man. They condition their lives to win it. And we can't condition ourselves to get nothing for God?
Yeah, amen.
You mean to tell me a world full of the fleshly motivation has more motivation to get something that's corruptible than we do to have to give something that's incorruptible? Press on. Some of you need to keep going. How are you going to do that, preacher? You better get a purpose. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I mean, he's not what do you call that? Ghost fighting? That ain't what he call it. Huh? Shadow boxing. He's not shadow boxing. He's not fighting the air. I mean, he's punching with a purpose, man. There's a reason behind what he does. You know what we as God's people need to do? We need to get a purpose in this race. There's a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. There's a reason why I show up at church. There's a reason why I read my Bible. There's a reason why I pray. There's a reason why I go to my job and live the life I live. There's a purpose behind it. And if you're going to reach forward and finish going, you need to get a purpose in your life. We're just kind of mingling around and seeing what happens. No, get a purpose. Get a reason. Get something you're reaching for and goal set before you. I want the finish line, man. I want the crown. I want to see souls saved and people helped and people find repentance in their lives and get back right with God. Amen. What's the motivation? That's what we're doing with these mail outs, man. Giving out gospel tracts and tract cards. Whatever you're doing. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's a goal. There's something we're trying to obtain. Some of you need to finish strong. Keep going. Press on. Run for the prize. Run with a purpose. Run so others might want to run also. He said in verse 27, but I keep my body under subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you want others to run also? I mean, it's a great thing that we're saved and going to heaven. Ain't it wonderful? But listen. Let's be honest. Don't you want others to go too? Don't you want people you're around to come with you? I mean, I enjoy my life with people, but you know what? I want to enjoy my life with them here, and I'm going to enjoy my life with them forever.
Amen.
I want to enjoy life with people down here and then go to heaven, and they go to hell and weep in misery forever when it could have been with me forever. We could have had a great time throughout eternity. There's something bigger, man. Don't you want others to go? You young people, don't you want other young people to get involved? Don't you want others to run? Don't you want others to get saved? I mean, don't we care about people where we work and where we function and what we do and where we shop? Don't you want somebody else to see you run and say, man, I want to run? Hey, some of you, when it comes to athletics and in the world, you watch somebody and you say, man, I want to do that. Hey, what about somebody looking at a child of God and saying, I want to be that. I want to be one of them. I want to be a servant. I want to be a Christian. I want to run like they do. I want to have what they got. You got to run with a purpose, man. You got to want others to follow you. You know what Paul said in the book of Galatians? He talks about reaping what we sow, you know. Well, he's Galatians 6 and verse 9. He says this. He says, be not weary in well-doing. You know what some of you are doing? You're doing well. You know what I'm trying to tell you this morning? You that are just pressing along, still go, stay at it. I'm telling you, there are rewards in the end. You know what I've seen? I've seen people on the fire and going and going and going. And just about the time God's about to bring a breakthrough. I mean, how many times have you seen that? It's so sad. And God's about to do something. We fumble the ball. We fall on the track. We run in the ditch. We maybe take a break and stop. And we blow what God was about to do. Maybe sometimes because it got too hot. And sometimes we'll be honest, it's some of the hot times in our lives when it's tiresome and it's hard is when God's really working and we don't know it. That's why the devil's heating up the fire. That's why he's trying to make you stumble, because he knows God's about to break through and do something great. And it's great people like Jesus enduring the cross because he knew something was about to be accomplished. The Apostle Paul and Silas over in the Philippian jail, when all the heat was there, they sang praises because something was about to be accomplished. The Philippian jailer was going to be saved. God was about to do something great. He says, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Right now, some of you are struggling thinking, man, is it worth it? Listen to this preacher. It is worth it. It is worth it to press on. It is worth it to finish strong. I'm telling you, we're going to face the Lord one day, and God's going to want to know what we did with what He gave us. Paul said, I finished my course. Will you finish yours? Are you getting weary and well-doing? Are you about to throw in the towel? You know what Caleb said? Caleb said in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10 and 12, at 85 years of old age, where God had promised that boy that mountain, and he had to wait a long time to get the mountain, but he was at the end of his race, and the Bible said he was as strong then as he was when he was young. And then you know what Caleb said? He said, give me that mountain. Man, I want the mountain, man. I want the great things. I got my affections on things above, man. There's great things waiting at the grips of God's people. Don't give up. I'm talking to Brother James, somebody else this morning. I'm talking about Moses over there. Moses, I think he was 120 years of age. And the Bible said his natural forces were not abated and his eyes were not dim. And God took him home. You know when God took him home? When he was finished and strong. You say, well, maybe God took him home because, you know, he let him into the promised land and the sin that he done and he died with a lot of strength left. Yeah, maybe so. But how about think of it on the other side? Here's a guy that served the Lord all his life. And God said, boy, when I'm taking you home, I'm taking you home on top. I'm not going to take you home when you're weak and frail and ain't got nothing to do and you look like an old wash-up habit. I'm taking you out on top of your life, amen. Hey, like Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I'm on top and I'm going home on top. Finish strong. Don't throw in the towel. Hey, Jesus is coming. Keep running. Some of you need to get up out of the mess. Some of you need to keep pressing on. Hey, some of you today need to decide to get started. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Will you finish strong? Sister, if you'd come play, God's spoken to your heart and you need to come. When did you come? Where are you at in the race? Maybe you stumbled. Maybe you fell. Maybe, hey, you need to get up and say, God, I want you to forgive me. And I'm willing to reconcile the wrongs. And I'm willing to do what's right. I want to get up. I want to accomplish greater things right now than I've ever done in my life. Maybe you need to be saved today. Why don't you come be born again? Why don't you come? Somebody take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Start you at the gate. Come on. I mean, we stumbled along. Some of you stumbled along long enough. It's time to get up.